Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
All right, today we're continuing in our message series, A Divided Kingdom. Last week, Pastor Jason kicked this off, and he was talking about, like, Jesus had just healed a man who had been blind and deaf, right? He was blind and he couldn't speak. Okay, he was blind and he couldn't speak. And Jesus had healed him. He actually delivered him from a demon that had taken his sight and his speech. Side note, I truly believe that some of the things that we suffer from in society are a direct relation to the spiritual condition of our hearts. Okay? And that was the case for that man. But there was something going on inside of him. His spirit was bound up. There was a demonic presence that was keeping him sick. And as soon as Jesus healed him and that demon was gone, that man could see and that man could speak again. But the religious leaders of that day saw Jesus do that, and they said, "Ah, he casts out demons by the power of Satan." And Jesus, honestly, I think he was probably chuckling under his breath. Like, really? Why would Satan cast out his own, like, soldier? And he said to them, like, a house divided among itself won't stand. That's why the message last week was about civil war. Like, when we start, like, battling each other, we start to fall apart. And Jesus is like, that's not what our kingdom is about. And Jesus continued in his message to them where we pick up today. And we kind of notice now as we get to this chapter in Matthew that Jesus' ministry kind of starts to shift. And Jesus is getting a little bit more like bold and upfront about some things. And he's calling people to make a choice. The same way that he called people then to make a choice, he calls us now. I want to read to you from today's passage, Matthew 12, 30 to 32. I'm going to read it to you from the NLT. I don't know what version that you brought with you or you like to read out of. I like to read for the most part when we're together from the NLT, just because of the language that it uses is one that we can understand pretty well all together. And Jesus said this, "Anyone who isn't with me and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come." And really, Jesus' message here is kind of divided into two things, and that's what we're going to look at. But when I look at this first part, anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. There are people in this world, in this nation, in this state, probably in this very valley, okay, there are some places in this very valley, where people would actually like to have an anarchical state, a state of anarchy. Do you know what anarchy is? Anarchy is this: a state of disorder due to absence or non-recognition of authority or other controlling systems. And there are people who would really like us to have no order and no control in our societal system. Likewise, there are people in the spiritual sense that claim that God does not exist and that there is no spiritual realm and that what you see is what you get. There's also people who claim that there are many things that are bigger than ourselves, which God could be one of those things. And those people are called agnostics. The people that don't believe in any God or any spiritual realm call themselves atheists. And the people that say, like, there's many different things that are higher than ourselves, God could be one of them, are agnostics. But I was thinking back to my years as doing children's choir in the blessed days that I loved so well. And one of the musicals that we did was called Miracle on Main Street. And one of the lines from this musical said, if you believe in everything, you actually believe in nothing. Do you hear that? If you believe in everything, you actually believe in nothing. Which made me come to think, like, really, agnostics and atheists are the same. Because if you believe in everything, you actually believe in nothing. And likewise, if you are against authority and against leadership, you're actually missing the fact that somebody is always in control. Which led me to the point that I was like, actually, anarchy isn't even real. Anarchy isn't even a choice. Because somebody's always leading. Somebody's in charge. Right? There's always somebody or some group leading an idea or a movement. So a state of anarchy where nobody is leading isn't even a choice. And Jesus holds back zero punches in these verses as he talks to us and he talks to the people of those days. The first message in this passage that he gives us is this: we have to choose our side. Choose your side. Jesus said, anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. The fact of the matter is that I am either working towards heaven or towards hell. Those are my two choices. I'm either walking towards heaven or I'm walking towards hell. There's no neutral ground at all. As a matter of fact, a few chapters back, and we've already read this, but I want to read it again. A few chapters back, Jesus even said, there's actually two roads in this life. And one road is really wide and easy to follow, and the gate is super wide and it's easy to pass through. And the other one is really narrow and it is hard, and the gate is narrow, and you can only get through one at a time. That was my paraphrase. It says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, I'm going to read this out of the English Standard Version right now. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those that find it are few. I wanted to read this same passage to you out of the paraphrase called The Message. Eugene Peterson wrote this paraphrase as a way to make the Bible more understandable to his grandchildren. And I love what this says. The paraphrase of Matthew 7, 13 to 14 in The Message. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff. Even though crowds of people do, the way of life to God is vigorous and requires total attention. Woo! Isn't that so good? The way to God requires our complete and total attention. Which means to me, anytime I get my eyes off of Jesus and off of this road that is obviously narrow and it is not easy to travel, if I get my eyes off of that road, I am starting to drift, right? Because walking towards Jesus requires total attention. Come on. There's no in between here. You ready? We can't take what we like and dismiss what we don't like. When it comes to God's word, we either believe all of it or we believe none of it. I have heard an argument that, like, there's parts of the Bible, like, they're written by men. And men can be, like, they could be, like, mistaken, or they can hear wrong. Here's a newsflash for you. The entire Bible was written by men. All of it. The words that were penned in order to put God's words in our hands were written by men, inspired by his Holy Spirit. Just like I am standing before you today, inspired by his Holy Spirit, speaking his truth to you. The same way men got together and wrote God's inspired word of God. If you don't like something too bad, that doesn't make it not true. You either believe all of it or you believe none of it. There's nothing in between. Choose your side. Who are you following? What are you following? Then Jesus goes into the second part of this. And he basically tells us, you better watch your words too. Not only do you need to choose who you're following, you need to watch your words as well. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. That should stop us in our tracks right there. Like, what is he talking about? Because I don't want to do something of which I can't be forgiven for, right? Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man, who's the Son of Man? Jesus, can be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. What does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? What is he talking about? We blaspheme the Holy Spirit. We can blaspheme the Holy Spirit just like those Pharisees did in that time. Because they took the supernatural work of Jesus and they attributed it to Satan. They took the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit working through Jesus and they attributed that to Satan. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to take his supernatural work that works through us, that works through other people, and to say, that's wrong. That's not God. That's them. That's someone else. That's what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Maybe you would never think of attributing a person getting healed or delivered to the power of Satan. Well, have you ever, heard people talk about pastors, teachers who are on television? Like, oh man, they're false prophets. They're out there just, they're not truly, they're not speaking God's word. Oh man, have you heard about that church? That church over there and that pastor over there? Ever heard those kind of conversations? Right? Listen, if it's not for you, don't watch it. Don't listen to it. Don't go to that church. But keep your mouth shut. Because you don't know. You are not God. And listen, this is no different than things that were going on back at the first century church. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he tells his disciples, listen, I want you to wait right here until I send the Holy Spirit, till the Holy Spirit comes. And the Holy Spirit comes in wind and fire. There's another one. Okay? He shows up, and men and women are filled with the Holy Spirit. They start, speaking out in public. They start speaking out in languages that are not of their own. They start proclaiming the good news of Jesus' salvation for sinners, his forgiveness of sins, his way to eternity to the Father. And people start freaking out. What is going on here? As a matter of fact, there was a group of high-ranking religious officials that would meet together to decide what things were and what things were not of God. They were called the Jerusalem Council. And so people drugged a group of apostles into them and said, this is what they're doing, and this is what they're saying, and they're talking about this Jesus guy, saying that he's the way to heaven and believing in him. And those men in that council picked up stones and were ready to kill those apostles. And one of them, who I believe was filled with the Spirit in that moment, his name was Gamaliel. He stood up, and in Acts chapter 5, verses 38 to 39, this is what Gamaliel said. My advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning on doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. Ooh! What? When Jason and I lived in Springfield, Missouri, Jason was working for the National Assemblies of God office. If you don't know this, if you have not attended Growth Track yet, you might not know that Hope City is actually a part of a denomination called the Assemblies of God, in which we have local covering in the state, but also within our national level. Jason worked for the national office, and we have a leader called the national, this general superintendent. So he's kind of like the pastor for all the pastors in the nation of the Assemblies of God. So when we were living there, there was a man, and it was on television, and it was being televised, and this man was having services in which he would call people up that needed to be healed. And he was performing violent acts for healing. He would take a running start at them off the stage and kick them right in the stomach. Or come up to them and slap them upside the face. That's wild, right? That's wild. And the church world, the big C, churches all around the nation were up in arms. This is crazy. This man's crazy. We need to shut him down. Someone go down there and put a stop to this. And people were flocking to him. And people were ready to have him arrested. And the superintendent of the Assemblies of God at the time, Dr. George Wood, made a public statement that went out where he got up and he spoke the same words that Gamaliel spoke to the Jerusalem council. And he said, friends, if this man is doing this of his own accord, it will soon fizzle out. But if he is doing this under the direction of the Holy Spirit, no man can stop it, and we'll find ourselves fighting against God. Let God fight it and stay out of it. At that point, even though like my spirit was so like conflicted, because I really wanted someone to do something. At that point, I felt Holy Spirit all over those words. Like, that is so right and that is so true. And you know, it wasn't long before exactly what Dr. Woods said, exactly what Gamaliel said in Acts chapter 5. What wasn't of God was quickly fizzled out. Just stopped happening. I have heard with my own ears men and women call other men and women false prophets and false teachers because of what they say. That's not our job. That's not our job. If you don't like what someone is saying, don't listen to it, but it should stop there. Don't join in the gossip parties and find yourself as a member of the modern day Pharisees. Because if I put my own thoughts and behaviors above those of the working of the Holy Spirit, I've discounted his work. And I'm no longer walking with him. Now, I don't think that if you've done that in the past, that God's like, that's blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, and now you can never be forgiven. But what he's saying is, watch your words. Now you know. Don't do it. Keep your mouths quiet. Focus on God.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.